The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new docu-series, Hooked, that was created to break the stigma of addiction, starts on RT tonight. And I'm joined in studio now by Dr. Brian Penny, neuroscientist and resilience specialist who features in the show and has had his own experience with addiction. Brian, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Delighted to be here.
Good to have you back in studio.
Yeah.
You were telling us your own story before, but briefly you might summarise.
Yeah, I suppose my own story, it looks like a story of addiction, but this is part of the show, the message that I'm trying to get across. I was a heroin addict for 15 years, but it was just a symptom of an underlying problem, which was trauma, anxiety and panic attacks. So I was medicating a pain, an emotional pain that was there. So that's the nature of my journey. But luckily, I had an experience. It was a near-death experience, but it shifted my perspective and my life has just gone on a completely different path, and I went on to do a PhD in neuroscience.
Now, people will think, when you say addiction, they think alcohol, they think heroin, they think those. But this is more broad. This is about anything that people might become addicted to, whether it's the use of their smartphone, whether it's gaming, whether it's alcohol or other mind-altering substances.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like when people think heroin, they think, oh, it's such a bad addiction. But addiction is addiction. At the end of the day, for me, it depends on the poison that you use. Like, the definition of addiction is continued use or a behaviour or of a substance or a behaviour despite harm to yourself or others. That's kind of the definition.
In other words, you can't help yourself.
You can't help yourself. But I think the essence of addiction is really escaping and avoiding pain and or emotional discomfort. And whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's heroin, or whether it's your phone because you're bored, you feel disconnected. Like, Ireland is one of the loneliest countries in Europe. The statistics came out on that. So if you're feeling lonely, isolated, disconnected, you'll pick up your phone, you can pick up other things, and that will give you a reward, and that habitual behaviour can potentially turn into an addiction.
Now, the series has three parts.
Yes.
How are they divided?
So the first part, which is on tonight, that's really covering behavioural addictions. We're going to go deep into the phones. I was in my old school, started chatting to the teenagers in there as well. A big focus on gambling addiction.
And one of them, I watched it last night, I'm just thinking, one of the kids say he wished that TikTok had not been invented?
That landed with me so heavily, Pat, it really did. And I've heard other kids saying that as well. I wish phones hadn't been invented. So I don't necessarily think they want to be on their phones, but they fear missing out because everyone else is on them. They want to be out playing. They want to be out doing things that kids do. So he wished TikTok wasn't invented. That's crazy.
Now, there is an objective way of measuring what happens to the brain when people are addicted. Yeah. The brain actually changes.
The brain changes. For everything we do, the brain changes to an extent, but particularly with addictive behaviours, there's a part of the brain called the reward pathway. And it's really grounded in the older part of our brain, the limbic part of our brain. And this sort of evolved to for survival of the species. So we avoid danger and we chase pleasures. Pleasures would have been foods to enhance the survival of the species. But in the world that we live in today, there's so many temptations between phones, alcohol, foods and different things, that this hijacks this part of the brain. Dopamine is released. And people often think about dopamine as a neurotransmitter related to pleasure. But dopamine is a motivational neurotransmitter that drives us to get more. So from an evolutionary perspective, we find fruit and the tribe is going to survive. Let's get more of that. But now we have sugar everywhere. We have substances everywhere. We have technology everywhere. The brain wants more. It consumes, and it literally changes the structure of our brain.
I want to play a clip, and this is Professor Anna Lemberg comparing smartphones to drugs. Have a listen.
You've described smartphone as the modern-day hypodermic needle.
We must concede that in clinical care, mental health care providers are seeing bona fide patients coming in addicted to this technology. It is undeniable. We can connect to millions of people all over the world with curated stories and images that are reinforcing for us immediately, i.e. release dopamine in the reward pathway. And that, my friend, is a drug.
That, my friend, is a drug, whether it's playing on your Xbox or whatever it might be. If you can't get away from it, it's a drug.
It's a drug. Yeah, it really is.
You know, I was thinking that as someone who's smoking and who can't give up smoking, they might have said the same thing the kid said about TikTok. I wish these things had never been invented.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the first program is about behavioural. The second program?
The second one really focuses on alcohol and substances. It's a big focus on that. And we chat to people from all different walks of life, from different socioeconomic backgrounds, all different parts around the country. Like, we have Spencer Matthews in it. We have multiple different people in Kilmoyne Treatment Centre as well. We talked to some wonderful people there who have been on the road of recovery as well. And we're just looking at different elements of recovery. But it's the big focus is alcohol and drugs. And as we all know, alcohol is an issue in this country.
Mm. One of the things, though, years ago, doing programmes on addiction and gambling in particular, I remember one guy said, it might take you 20 years to drink your life away,
yeah,
or to develop cirrhosis of the liver. It might take you 30, 40 years to get cancer of the lung from your cigarette smoking, which can lose your house in a month.
That's the scary.
Gambling.
That's the scary fact, isn't it? And when I talk to, we speak to a lot of lads in Kilmore and Atoy around gambling addiction as well. And that's what they talk about. Like, addiction, all addictions thrive in secrecy. But with the smartphones coming into play in recent years, somebody could be sitting there losing their house while it looks like they're texting. That is a big challenge with gambling. And the gambling industry, again, is sort of forcing, like, the apps and the algorithms are really pushing us to really consume as much as we can.
And we have a clip referring to that very aspect of gambling.
My first experience with gambling really was, I started working in a pub. I'd done my first bet when I was 17, back four horses and four to one, a nice shot of money over. So that was my introduction to gambling. I got a sense of really fitting in, I suppose. The guys, customers in the pub were kind of cheering on the horses and stuff like that for me, and gave me a great sense of belonging and attachment to the pub. You know, I felt I was one of the lads, and I really loved that feeling, I suppose. And that's what I remember most about, was the feeling it gave me.
It's not about the money. And it never was, but I only learned that in here myself. Like, it's about your patterns that you learned when you were younger and stuff like that, and it's the escapism. Because there's many a time where I needed to get, say, X amount of money, and I was gambling, and I'd get to it, and then I still wouldn't stop, though. I could have paid the debt and that, but I keep going, and until it's all gone, like.
And that's the extraordinary thing about gambling, isn't it? That I remember meeting a professional gambler one day, and I said to him, how much do you make a year? And back in the day, yeah, it didn't seem like a huge amount of money. He made 10 grand a year. And I said, well, why do you do this as a professional gambler? And he was a guy who'd go to one race meeting to look at one horse and not put a bet on. And he said, yeah, I only made 10 grand last year, but I spent 100.
Wow.
So he enjoyed the spending of the money,
yeah,
even though the profit wasn't great.
Yeah.
But he was a professional who kind of knew what he was at.
Yeah, it's the chase.
It's the, what do we do about all of these things which are dopamine providers, if you like? Because not everyone who's exposed to heroin in a block of flats becomes an addict. Not everyone who's surrounded by fellow teenagers who take up smoking at the back of the bicycle shed become lifelong smokers. Not everyone who takes a drink becomes an alcoholic.
This is really true. And even taking the most challenging drug, some people would say, is heroin. Like, back in Vietnam, the Americans thought they had like 100,000 heroin addicts coming home, but they found only something like 2 or 3% of them used heroin when they got back to the US. So they were like, what's actually going on there? So when you explore this, connection seemed to be the vital piece. If people are disconnected, if there's a pain in their lives, and there was a couple of us as friends that tried heroin, but it was only myself and another friend that had deep emotional issues that got addicted to heroin. So we need to look at what is driving the addiction rather than the addiction itself. That is what's really, really important. And not everyone is susceptible. But if your reality is so painful, and this is why I hate the choice theory of addiction, and it's not really believed anymore, but it's like you have a weak moral compass. It was a choice that you use drugs. But if you had an itch for 10 years and it was an emotional itch and it got worse and worse and worse, you might eventually scratch that itch. But was it a choice? Yeah, it was a choice in a way. But if your emotional world, if your environment, if poverty plays a role, your basic needs aren't being met and you are really struggling in the world, well, maybe a reality when you get a taste of drugs that feels a lot better, you might rather spend time there. So that's what's really important. We need to get under the bonnet of what is driving addictive behaviour rather than the addiction itself.
And the question of the persuaders all around us, whether it's the availability of TikTok on every child's phone or whether it's the number of betting ads on television or sponsorship by betting companies of sporting occasions. I mean, the betting shop is a rare enough thing in many towns now.
Yeah, technology is really scary. And I remember hearing something recently that really stopped me in my tracks. Like, there's only two industries in the world that call their customers users: the drug industry and the tech industry. And what does a capitalist society want? It wants a world full of addicts that will consume, consume, consume. And they're hijacking the reward system. The more we want, the more we will consume.
And this is what the algorithms are all about.
This is what the algorithms are about. So we have these corporate powerhouses tapping into our evolutionary instincts, hijacking the reward system of our brains to our young kids today. And we really need to become more aware of this and put strategies in place, policies in place to stop this.
You know, when someone starts on their mobile phone, and I suppose the younger they are, maybe the more susceptible they are to develop habits, and they can become addicted to TikTok. They can spend hours and hours on their phones every day on that and on other social media channels. But if you ask them, are you happy in your life? They'd say yes. Do you know what I mean? That you don't have to have a problem necessarily for this insidious addiction to take hold.
Would they say yes? That's the interesting one. But if you look at the research and the stats on that, like, mental health challenges since 2012 are climbing rapidly. I believe suicide for young teenage girls has doubled since 2012.
Yeah, but it's a chicken and egg. Do you know what I mean? You can say she spent 8 hours on her phone and she has suicide ideation. But, you know, did she have that before she went on the phone, or is the phone the part creating the problem?
Creating the problem. Well, if you look at it, like, a lot of the research is correlational and it's hard to look at causation, but there's a lot of studies now happening that's really looking at the fact that the phone is driving these problems. And it's not even so much the phone, it's more the front-facing phone. That's when things became really problematic, because we didn't evolve to look at ourselves or the best versions of other people as well. And there is some causational studies now demonstrating that the phone is causing these mental health challenges.
Okay, so it is like giving someone the drop of whiskey at age 11.
Yeah, literally.
Developing a taste for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a very interesting series, three parts. First part going out tonight. It's made by Cable Rock in association with RTE and Research Ireland.
Research Ireland, yeah.
Ruth Freeman, our guest earlier this morning, is featured in the show.
Yeah.
So there you are. Dr. Brian Penny, neuroscientist and resilience specialist, who features in the show tonight. It's called Hooked. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks,
in
Pat.
The studio. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.